Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 13, and reading through the end of the chapter. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. But what you eat, by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace, for a mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have between yourself and God, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. This text that Paul wrote to the church in Rome thousands of years ago probably was not any more appropriate than it is today. And almost every time you read passage, sometimes you say, boy, this passage speaks to us. And I think of the context that we find ourselves today in the 21st century in the United States of America. We're the land of liberty. We're the land that brought freedom to many other nations, at least we think we do and such. We have our Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights, and we're a people who like rights. But I think historically we may have veered away from rights, maybe when this country was founded and some things. You see, as I look at myself and may others, and we forget when you have rights, you have another R word that we typically don't like to talk about. And I see people smiling, and you know what that word is. Responsibility. You see, we live in a world, and part of our disunity we have is everyone wants their right. We don't care about others, of a responsibility for other people. I get to say what I say, but you can't say what you say. And I mean, what we know that. And in Berkeley now, the people have said that the city or this that had the free speech movement has gotten rid of speech. Now, I am not saying this to argue for any particular idea of what people should say. That's not my point here. My point is that in the way of the world, we become so narcissistic. I think it's part of what you hear from philosophy and such. We are is truth now. It's getting down to the people, but philosophers had it years ago. It's existentialist. We are existentialist. I am the sum of all truth. And I think as Paul has been writing here in Romans 14, we saw it a couple weeks ago when we looked at the first part of this chapter. We're seeing it here. He's dealing with maybe an existentialist movement within the church. Right? I'm the one with doctrine. I know what is right. And what I determine to be right, that's what you need to agree with. And that's the idea of passing judgment. I preach, and I say, here's what the Bible says, and I believe it, and I will argue it. But I am not the one to say that since it thus saith Wayne, that's what we do. At least I try not to. And Paul here, in this chapter and really in the end of Romans, he's really trying to tell us in the church how we ought to be able to live with one another in the church as believers in Christ. And look how he begins here in verse 13. He's really says what he's said before. Look at verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Look what he said in verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. And he's dealing with the same concept. And so, as we look at this, I want to look at these first verses, really beginning at verse 13, of 13 through 14. Look how he says this with one another. Let's read from verses 13 through 16. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For your brother is grieved by what you eat. You are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Again, he's telling Christians, as you deal with other Christians, and the first thing I want to make is, this is what we call a family relationship. Look how many times that's used in those verses. He says, verse 15, For if your brother, end of verse 13. Put a hindrance in the way of a brother. You need to realize that they are part, not only are they a family relationship, but as we know, we are part of the same body. We are part of the same temple. We care for one another. And not only is it that relationship, but it's a relationship not of blood, not of theology, not a philosophy, but of Christ. That's our relationship. That's how we are related to one another. End of verse 15. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Not only are we brothers and sisters, but each and every single one of us are children of Christ for whom he died. He died because he loved you that much. He died because he loved me that much. Well, I mean, I did not, that's not the only motive. But he does love each and every one for whom he died for. It was for the glory of God that he did everything. I don't want to espouse Paul's theology. But I need to think about you, and you need to think about me, because of the way Christ thinks about each and every one of us, that he gave himself. And it's that love, again. And we will know, Christ says, they will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. We should have a love for each other, a love, a caring for one another. Now notice how that goes against this idea of rights. That emphasizes, and this whole section emphasizes, your responsibility to your brother or sister, not your rights. Because if we all care about our rights, I get to do this because I'm free to do it. If you get nothing out from the sermon, that's why you say, guess what? No, you should not be thinking about what your rights are. You should be thinking about what your responsibility is. You ought to care for them because they are a brother or sister for whom Christ died. That's what these verses are saying. And if you pass judgment, and I think he's thinking here, as we'll see this, definitely you have the weaker brother or sister who's passing judgment on what someone else is doing, but I think here he's emphasizing in these verses the stronger brother or sister. And as we said earlier, the stronger brother and sister, in a sense, knows that everything is clean, as he'll say here. But the weaker brother says, well, you shouldn't do that in the context here of maybe eating food sacrificed to idols. What they're saying is that as you deal with that brother or sister, you ought to care what you do in relationship to them, because in doing that, in verse 13, you may be putting a stumbling block to hinder their way of their walk. See, there's a tendency sometimes, especially when we have weaker brothers or sisters in the church, if we do things that they think is wrong, we ought not force them to do something that they think is wrong, or maybe do something in front of them. Now, what should govern your liberty, and I think we do have liberty, but it's not the liberty of rights, it's the liberty of love. Again, that takes us to our responsibility. Look what he says in verse 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Again, everyone knows I talk about BLTs. We have the freedom to eat BLTs. There may be a brother who believes erroneously that they can't, and it would be a sin to do it. What Paul is saying is when you're with them, don't do your freedom as a way of hurting them. Now, to the weaker brother or sister, I would say this. It doesn't mean that the weaker brother or sister can tell you what you do in the privacy when you're away from them. It doesn't mean that the stronger brother or sister has to get rid of BLTs. But as they're dealing with the brother or sister with them, don't try to do something to encourage them. Now, within this, Paul is talking here about how we deal with one another in walking. That's going to also go with, I think, good teaching. We don't leave weaker brothers or sisters weak. We try to grow them in understanding doctrine. But we don't run roughshod with our liberty and our rights. What should govern you is what is best for the body, including those who are weak. And that's where he goes on, continue. Because if you do that, He says it in a very strong way at the end of verse 15. By what you eat, do not destroy. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't have the power to destroy what God does, what Christ does. That's not what Paul is saying. What he's saying is, don't do anything that could possibly be seen as going in that direction. Again, it goes back to the responsibilities that we have as children of God. It
may not be a correct connection, but think about Jesus. He does not quench what?
Yeah, or bruise wheat. He cares. And that same attitude that you see in Messiah should be the attitude by which we love one another.
And that's what he's saying in verse 16. Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. You see, if you go on and do it, it's not spoken of you because it's an evil thing, but because the effect of how you're using it, how it affects a brother. Something that's good can actually be spoken of as evil, not because it's evil, but because of the way it affects your brother or sister. That's what verse 16 means. So, the first point is that we should care for others in the church who may be weaker because they are a brother or sister for whom Christ died. Now let's look at verse 17 through 21. He says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. What he's saying is this: the kingdom of God is not about these externals anyway. It's not what you put into yourself. It's not the externals anyway. So if you give up something, it's the internal. It's the heavenly. It is righteousness and peace and joy, the Holy Spirit. These are things that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us righteousness, we are clothed in it. He gives us peace, and he gives us the Spirit that indwells us. So as a Christian, it's not about what you have the right to do externally. It's about, are you concerned about what God is doing in the midst of the temple of God, which includes your brother or sister? And we see that in the temple service of verse 18. Think about it, that we as priests, we actually are in temple service. Look at verse 18. "For whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." See, demanding our rights, who are we serving? Ourselves. When we care about our brother or sister, who are we serving? Not them, first and foremost. We're serving the Lord. See, the idea, he who gives, Jesus said, you do this unto me. When did we give you something? When did you give you water? When you did for the least of the brethren, you did it unto me. I like to tell people, so people say, how can I serve Jesus? I really want to serve Jesus. Well, do you have to serve Jesus? Serve those whom you can see. The opposite of what Paul did. When Paul attacked the church, what does Jesus say? "Paul, Paul, why are you, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
When he became Paul the Apostle, he gave his life for Christ, and he was caring for the church. And that's what we do with one another. Now, by the way, it doesn't say this in the text, but I want to say that if you have a weaker brother or sister who has an erroneous view of something and you want to help them, you can go to Scripture to help them understand it, but you need to bring them along. That's what ministry is about. Ed Clowney says very famously that the metaphor for ministers of the church are not ranchers, but shepherds. You know the difference between a rancher and a shepherd, according to Clowney? Ranchers drive cattle. Shepherds lead sheep. And demanding rights in that is driving. And that's going to hurt. No, we lead them. We bring them along. We care for them. And that's what he's saying to them here. Is you need to care for them. And in doing that, what do you do in verse 19? So then, let us pursue what makes for peace, for mutual upbuilding. Mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. He repeats what he said earlier in verse 15 about destroying the work of God. But again, he's likening it here, not just from the family relationship, but the idea that it's not the material thing. It's the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, that the temple that you are with people. Because he says at the end of the day, everything is indeed clean. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. Goes back to that same idea. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The motivation is for the love and the care of God's children in what is really important. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Think about that. What he's saying is that in that sentence is this. Is our reflexive thought. See, we may go out there and think that we have our rights. And we may do something that hurts or stumbles a brother or sister. But then later on we think, man, I really should have done that. That's what he's getting at here. You'll pass judgment on yourself. You don't think you will, but you will. Well, just don't do it. And you won't have to pass judgment on yourself. And then verse 23, what he's saying is this. This is another motivation because it's not what you think about it, it's what your brother or sister thinks about it. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. See, that's the danger. The danger is not just the fact that you're offending them by what you eat. The danger is that they can do it to go along with you. They can feel the pressure to do what you do. But they actually think it's wrong. And if they do it, they are sinning. And you're causing trouble in them. Even though it's not sin, it has a destructive force upon them because of their conscience. We, as we grow, as we mature, we will become stronger. And that is what we are called to do. Because at the end of the day, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. We are a people who have a lot of freedom. We don't have the Bill of Rights, though we have freedom. We have the freedom from sin, it's condemnation. And the more we mature, and the more we become a stronger Christian, something happens. And this is the challenge to those who claim, who think they're strong. You know how you can tell that you're strong? By the way, it's hard to say you tell it. But you know what a stronger Christian does? They think less of self and more of others. They think less of self and more of others. And that's what our Lord does, doesn't he? So if you really are the stronger Christian, you'll want to put these into practice. But it's interesting, as we've seen this entire chapter, he spent a lot of time on this, hasn't he? Because as I said earlier, there's ever a time in which this teaching of Romans 14 is appropriate for us in the 21st century in the United States. But you know what? We can talk all about that. But it's every single one of us, because we have the sin of Adam that we're fighting against. We want to do things that look good to us and that will make us wise. It's all about us. And as we grow, as we mature, and as we walk as Christians, Paul, throughout this passage, tells us, do this and not this. And the wiser we get, the more we heed it. The more we continue to see that living as a Christian is living, I titled the sermon, Living Liberty and Love. A way of application. Living as a Christian is to live at the liberty to love. And that way summarizes what he says here in chapter 14. If you live as a Christian, you finally have the beginnings of that liberty to love. It's like the Ten Commandments. There's a book written on the Ten Commandments. I recommended to somebody. Someone asked about a good book on the Ten Commandments. I told him. There's a book called The Ten Commandments, The Law of Perfect Freedom. And that's what we're able to do. As we become Christians, we are able to begin to have the liberty to obey his commandments. We're no longer a slave to sin. And what Paul says here in Romans 14, as a Christian, you're no longer a slave to self. Live by him. Let's go to him now in prayer.